holy name, Lord Jesus. Praise God, praise God. Thank you so much, singers. Tremendous singing, anointed singing this morning. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles this morning, would you turn with me two places? First, we want to go to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. And we're going to read there beginning at verse 17. And also Isaiah chapter 1, beginning at verse 16. That's Isaiah chapter 1, verse 16. And Luke 10, beginning at verse 17. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word? I'm going to continue on this week with what I felt the Lord has laid on my heart. I didn't get to fully complete the message last week, but we're going to continue to deal with the subject of the preparation, the power, and the praise. Isaiah chapter 1, beginning at verse 16. This is God speaking His demand through the prophet Isaiah to Israel as a nation and to mankind as a whole. Isaiah 1, verse 16. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. And verses 18 and 19 are so beautiful and powerful that they beggar description. The Lord of glory calls out to fallen man, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land." And now let's go to Luke chapter 10, verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, "Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name." And he said unto them, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, I praise you and thank you for the privilege of once again imparting your word to your people. And Lord, as always, I ask for the mighty anointing of the Holy Spirit, without which I know no good will be accomplished. Lord, I ask you to come and empower me and enable me, Lord, by your Spirit, to preach your word in a way that it would be made clear to your people and understandable to your people. And Lord, I know your Spirit will make it a blessing unto them. And Lord, I confess before all heaven and earth, I am totally dependent upon the power and operation and movement of your Spirit, Lord, to transmit your message in a way that will bring you glory and honor. And Lord, I just thank you today. I believe you're going to do just as we have asked, and will not fail to give you, Lord Jesus, all the praise, the honor, and the glory for whatever you do this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. It was about a year and a half ago, late Sunday night, I was watching the rebroadcast of the morning service from Family Worship Center. And they were having a powerful praise and worship service. And there came a point in the worship service where there was just a little bit of a lull in the service between songs. And the Holy Spirit began to speak a message through a lady seated toward the back. And it was obvious as the cameras panned on this lady, she would not be considered to be of the social upper crust of society. She was just a regular individual, but yet here the Spirit of God was speaking through her. You know, it's just like the Lord told Peter in the book of Acts, "What my blood has cleansed, call thou not common." There are no commoners if you're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And the message in tongues came forth, and then just a few moments later, probably less than a minute later, the interpretation began to come forth. And over again, the Holy Spirit, through that message in tongues, told the church, read the book of Acts and get ready. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. Read the book of Acts and get ready. The book of Acts is the perfect example of what a true church should be and how a true church should function. That's what the entire book is all about. It delineates how the Lord Jesus Christ wants his church to function and what the church should see occurring when the body of Christ comes together. And in that book of Acts, you have records of healings. You have records of the dead being raised. You have, more importantly, the church meeting together as a united body focused on the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did at the cross. And when the Spirit gave that message, it hit me like a ton of bricks. Praise broke out all over the sanctuary, even in my heart there in the living room. I sat there and I began to weep. Read the book of Acts and get ready. Continuing with the theme that I believe the Lord has laid on my heart for last week and today, he reminded me of this, this message. Read the book of Acts and get ready. We brought out last week, or tried to, that for this last day's church, number one, the Lord has shaken it to get all of the mess out of it, to get all of the dross off of it, so that it will project a crystal clear image of who Jesus Christ is and what Jesus Christ has done and how Jesus Christ is the only way for fallen humanity to be made right with God. That's a church. That's a church. A building with a bunch of people in it is a social club if they're not preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, my concern is, I don't care if Springfield City accepts this church. I don't care if the ecclesiastical system accepts this church. I want God to accept this church. I want to be a church like the book of Acts that preaches Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. I want to be a church that's first of all full of his purity. Because he has spoken plainly to the church, there will be no power without purity. If we're to be the church in the book of Acts, we are going to have to be pure. And this word declares, speaking specifically of the rapture of the church, everyone who has this hope, the hope of the coming of Jesus Christ in his heart, purifieth himself even as he is pure. What does that mean? When your hope and faith and trust is in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, that's what makes us pure. If our hope and faith and trust is in anything other than Christ and him crucified, we are an impure church in the sight of Almighty God. We're impure people. I'm preaching to you the cross of Jesus Christ one more time this morning, because only through faith in that precious shed blood can we be made pure. That's why there's so little real power in the church today, because there's so little purity. And I'm not preaching some kind of legalistic purity where we go into performance to try to make ourselves pure, because we cannot do that. It's impossible. I'm speaking of a purity that's predicated upon proper faith to make us pure. I've got to preach here for just a moment. Most churches today in the United States of America are not pure. That's why there's no power in them. That's why there's no life-changing power in them. Because only the Holy Spirit can change a heart and life. And not having that purity, hence not having any real power, they turn to other sources for their strength and for their spiritual sustenance to provide that change. And that real change never comes. Let this sink in. The Holy Spirit's told me these last few weeks to press hard on this. No power without purity. No power without purity. But here it is. God wants to give that power. We read in Luke chapter 10 where Jesus had sent out the 70 disciples and they performed miraculous works in his name. I mean, when he sent them out initially, he told them, I'm going to give you power over all of the enemy's forces. I'm giving you power over all manner of sickness and disease to act authoritatively in my name. Now that's awesome. Oh, how it makes me trust in the blood of Jesus to see anything good happen. Because I know how in and of myself how impure I am. And how pure and precious is the blood of Jesus that when we put our faith in it, he can then use us to do miraculous works in his name. My, what a thought that is. And that's no reflection on man. That's the reflection all on him. Emerson, he healed you because of your purity. And not because you're pure in and of your flesh. Your faith's in him and his shed blood that allowed the Holy Spirit to flow. And the Lord told me to stress this in this morning's message too. The Holy Spirit will not function where there is no purity. He simply cannot. Because the only purity there is faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And if there is no faith in Christ and his precious shed blood, there will be no power of the Holy Ghost functioning. Hallelujah. So they return after working all of these mighty signs and wonders, the 70 do. And they're so much like us. You know what they're rejoicing over? Lord, devils obey us. Woo, ain't we something? Now that's the attitude they came back with. This was the 70 disciples. Woo, devils obey us. Man, we speak to them and they come out of people and go fleeing. But they had forgotten the reason why the devils were subject to them. Not in and of them. It was because of Jesus and his authority that he had sent them out in. And the Lord saw this. And he immediately addresses it. And this is exactly the problem with an apostate last days church. They're rejoicing over what they should be crying over and crying over what they should be rejoicing over. They're rejoicing over the fact, look at all that we have materially. Look at all the things we have. Look at how many people we're reaching for Jesus. And if you've got the wrong message, you're not doing anybody any good. I don't care how many TV programs are going into billions of homes. If it's the wrong message, it ain't doing nobody no good. If there's no purity in that message, there's no power in that message. All you're doing is talking about religion and leading people to religious exercises. And these disciples were rejoicing over the fact of the miracles. And we should rejoice over that. But what it is, they had forgot the more important things. You know what's more important to God? And sometimes I believe Satan tries to make Christians feel, and even preachers. If you're not seeing a continual flow of miracles happen or a lot of what we would call spiritual manifestations happen, that something's wrong. And I don't believe that's the case at all. Because let me tell you about spiritual manifestations for just a moment. You know what the greatest spiritual manifestations to God are? It's when you start living pure and holy before him. When you stop cussing out your wife and children through the week. You know, it's like my good friend Lauren Larson says, anybody can come to church, put on time, be good for an hour and a half on Sunday morning. It don't take a lot of power at all to do that. Anybody can do that. You give me the vilest sinner in the world. And they can come and sit and put on a suit and tie and get a nice haircut and shoe shine, come to church and look like they are just as close to God as anybody. And live like hell all week long. That's what impresses God. When we get a desire in our hearts for him. Not for what he can do, for him. That we get a revelation of him. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost so powerful in what I'm saying this morning. When we get such a revelation of who Jesus is and how great he is, that we're satisfied with that. My Lord, those are the kind of things that get to God's heart. It's nothing to God. It don't impress God for demons to flee at the name of Jesus. That don't impress God a bit. He knows that can happen. It's much harder. Oh, I'm preaching good this morning. It's much harder for him to get us to quit putting on a religious show and really get pure before him and allow the Holy Ghost to work in our lives. And how often I look at my own life and I cringe. How often do I rejoice? But the Lord's changing me, thank God. But how often do I rejoice over, Lord, I look back and I see where you changed my life in some areas. It was painful. It was difficult. But my life is aligned more with your word and the character of Jesus Christ because of the fire you've put me through, because of the heat you put me under. Lord, I rejoice and I thank you for doing that in my life. Now, we're like the 70. If you're like me, maybe I'm preaching to folks that are farther down the road than Greg Browning. And if I am, just bear with me. It'll do me good to get this out, okay? But I'm rejoicing. Oh, praise God. We had 120 in service this morning. Oh, praise God. We had a great shouting service. That's good. There's nothing wrong in and of those things. But those should be the secondary things we rejoice over. That's what Jesus was telling the disciples this day in Luke. He said, y'all are rejoicing over these demons fleeing and sick bodies being healed. And you know what Jesus is really telling them? Now buckle your seatbelt. He's saying, these things are really nothing to me. And as far as my ability to achieve them, I just gave you the authority to act in my name. If your faith were not in me, it would have been like the seven sons of Sceva. I love that story. In the book of Acts, where these exorcists went out, these seven sons of Sceva, they'd seen the real disciples cast out demons. And they went and approached this demon-possessed guy, and they said, we adjure you. I loved how they put it. We adjure you by the name of Jesus, come out of this man. And that demon spoke to him, and they said, we adjure you in the name of Jesus Christ and Paul, come out of this man. And I love what that demon said back to him. You know, Satan even tells the truth sometimes. That demon spoke to him and said, Paul, I know. And Jesus, I know. But who are you guys? And beat them up and stripped them naked and chased them out of town. Praise God. Praise God. That's what ought to happen when the church tries to function in the flesh. We wind up looking like a bunch of fools. But when we come in the name of Jesus, with faith in his shed blood, glorious events transpire. Hallelujah. Jesus said, signs and wonders shall follow them that believe. But the church has turned it into, we're going to follow signs and wonders. All over this issue that Jesus was addressing with the disciples on purity. We need to praise God for purity first, and the power will be there. And when the power comes, there won't be no rejoicing over what we've accomplished. It'll be, look what he's done. Look what the Lord has done. That's a Book of Acts church. When the Holy Spirit spoke that message at Family Worship Center, read the Book of Acts and get ready. I believe the Lord's given me a greater revelation on what he said that day. He wasn't saying that just unarbitrarily, I'm going to begin to perform miracles. No. Read the book of Acts. Read how pure the early church was. Read what a pure faith was in that early church. And get ready to have your life transformed into my image in a greater way than you ever thought possible. Those are the real hard things for God to accomplish. Why? They're not hard for him to accomplish if we'll yield. But we're like this 70. Most of us were power hungry. We want to see our own flesh and our own works held up. And God won't share his glory. And that's the shaking that I believe is going on in the body of Christ right now. God has shaken all that junk out of a church that is hungry for nothing but him. And I believe we're one of them. And my prayer is, pour it on, Lord. Embarrass us, humiliate us, beat and grind us, but make us like you. When you're done, as we read last week out of Isaiah 55, when it said, he shall sit as a refiner of silver. Lord, turn up the heat. Burn it hot, because you're not going to kill us. We may think we're going to die, but the master refiner is sitting there. No, it ain't quite done yet. I don't see my image in that yet. There's still dross. There's still impurity in it. I'm going to turn up the heat a little bit more. And we're like, ah, Lord, I'm going to die. And he's like, no, you're not. You're in my hand. But when I'm done with you, I'm going to have created a work in you that you can really shout over, because people are going to see me in you. And that's the greatest thing we could ever have happen. That's the greatest miracle, is that people look at us. And that's what the Holy Spirit was saying. Read the book of Acts and get ready. The Holy Ghost worked on that early church. There were things that needed to be corrected in that first century church. And he did it, but they yielded to it. They willingly yielded to it because they wanted more of Jesus. And our greatest need is to have a greater revelation of Jesus, his person, and a greater revelation of him in us. In Romans 6, when we're baptized into Christ, hallelujah, that means that we should be shaped and formed into the image of Jesus. That means the lusts of the world should begin to die off in us. And what the world has to offer should be dying off in us. That song, Chris, you all sang this morning. You didn't know I was going to be preaching this today. But my, what a song. There's nothing in that world for us. There's nothing there. And there's nothing wrong with having things of the world as long as those things don't have us. But I'm talking about a longing and a chasing after what the world offers. My Lord, kill it off in us. Those are the kind of things we need to rejoice over. Let me use my own life. And this is the Lord's work. The Lord has been taking me and showing me what junk there is coming into my home over that TV. And now you're probably going to laugh and chuckle at this. It's okay. But I love comedy. I've shared this with you a little bit before. I love it. I love to laugh. I love it. And certain types of comedy are fine, but other types aren't. But Jesus said, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I don't have no desire anymore to sit up late on Saturday night and watch Saturday Night Live. Now, I have for years, and I love it. I've loved it. At times, they've had things on there that are genuinely funny. At other times, they've had things on that are utterly blasphemous. And that's the spirit that's behind it all. Satan controls entertainment. We need to see that. Satan controls all worldly entertainment. Everything coming out of Hollywood has his fingerprint on it. Whether it looks innocent to us or not. Why? Because that's the world system. And that's what 1 John 2:15 was telling us concerning this issue of being pure before the Lord. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world is the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And I'm like, Lord, don't stop at Saturday Night Live. Now, I'm using something humorous because I'm too ashamed to go to the deeper areas that I don't want you to know about that's wrong with me. Okay? Now, y'all ought to rejoice that the Lord, to him be the glory, has given me enough guts to go to Saturday Night Live. Because there's a lot worse things wrong with me. But you don't need to know about them. They're between me and the Lord. You got them too. You got them too. I want us to be a pure church. I want us to have the Holy Ghost fall on us in such a way that we don't care much about the NFL. We don't care much. There's no sin in watching it, don't get me wrong. But I'm talking about to where it doesn't titillate our hearts like Jesus does. Like Jesus does and what Jesus is doing in our hearts and lives. As in this last day, he transforms us into a church of purity and power. That's what I want to see happen. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I don't want us to rejoice. I rejoice and praise God for Sister Helen's healing and Emerson's healing. We should give him the glory for that. But I rejoice more and that the stumbling preaching he's using me to do today is leading us to a deeper level of holiness, a deeper level of purity, and a greater increase of Christ-likeness in our lives. Hallelujah. That's what we need. See, if there's a bunch of disciples, and Jesus told them, they came back. Ooh, look at all this stuff we've been doing. And it is. It's wonderful when God uses you to do anything. And he says, but Jesus told them, these ain't my words. These are the words of Jesus. Rejoice not that the devils and demons are subject to you. And in other words, he's saying, that's small potatoes, boys. That's small potatoes. He said, what you need to be rejoicing over is the greatest thing there is to rejoice over, is that I have made it possible for your names to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you've got eternal life. Hallelujah. And you've got me dwelling in you. My Lord, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord. What a message that is to all of us. Rejoice that your names are written in the book of life. Praise God. Praise God. I'm telling you, I sense an urgency, and I believe you're sensing the urgency that God's put in me, the unction that God's put in me for us to become a pure church. And I'm not speaking legalistically, but let me tell you, when our faith is in Christ, the Holy Spirit's going to go to work. He's going to go to work. And he's going to start pointing out all the junk and the dross that's there as the heat gets turned up. As the garner is being shaken. We read last week from the scripture, speaking of Jesus, said that he would thoroughly purge his threshing floor. The threshing floor is his. It was speaking of a process of how they refined the wheat grain in biblical times. They would gather it all into a garner, a box, if you will, that had like a screen in it. It was a large floor. And the threshing floor is the Lord's. And we're on his threshing floor. And violently, the workers would stomp on that grain to get the kernels to break from the husk, which was impure, and to fall through that garner. And it was a violent action. And then those pure grains would still have the dust on them after they had fallen through the garner. They would still have the dust on them, the pure grains, the pure wheat grains would. Now, what are we seeing there? First of all, on his threshing floor is where he saves us. And it's a violent act, spiritually speaking, to have the Lord come in and take authority over the sin nature and to drive the devil out and to cleanse us of all sin. And spiritually, that's a violent act. It's a beautiful act, but it's violent. But then after that, those kernels of wheat had fallen through, they would gather them. And the scripture went on to say, whose fan is in his hand? That wheat would still, after it had gone through the garner, it would still have the dust, which was an impurity of the husk on it. And they would take it out then with a winnowing fork. And they would have the head of the process stand with a giant fan in his hand. And they would take that with a shovel, if you will, a winnowing fork is what it was. And they would throw that back over their shoulder into the air. And that one with the fan in his hand would wave the fan when that was thrown into the air, and it would blow all the rest of the impurity off of that kernel, so that when it hit ground, it was a pure grain of kernel ready to be used however the head wanted to use it. Praise God. That's a perfect picture of salvation and sanctification. And I'm saying, Lord, wave the fan. Wave the fan at Crossway Community Church. Get all of the dust and dirt of the world off of us by whatever means necessary. And that may sound scary to some, but I'm here to tell you, the glory and joy it will bring to our lives to have more of him and less of the world, to desire more of him and less of the world, it'll be absolutely glorious. It'll be greater than Saturday Night Live. It'll be greater than the NFL. It'll be greater than Oprah or Dr. Oz. It'll be an encounter with none other than the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. 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 I've got to preach it.
And he said through the prophet Isaiah, come now, come now, come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though those sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as wool. Though they be red like crimson, I'll make them like snow. Scarlet, the color of the royal robe that Jesus had on the day he was crucified. Crimson, the color of his blood that flowed for the purification of our sins. Hallelujah. Man, God's doing a work in this church. He is doing a work in us right now. And I know, some of you, I know you're looking a little bit bug-eyed. It's okay. I know how you feel. I know when he started pointing this stuff out to me how I felt. But Lord, I like those things. You mean you're uncomfortable with me doing those things and liking those things, Lord? And he's telling me, yes, I am. And I got something a lot better for you, Greg, if you'll listen to me. I've got my power, my spirit, my grace, my joy. And it's better than anything that world can serve you up. Whoo! My life, the Holy Spirit says, shut up. Stand to your feet. Glory to God. Would you come and present yourselves at the altar of the Lord this morning? My, I feel a wave of the Holy Ghost over this place. Give us revival, Lord. Give us revival. We cry for purity, Lord. Not power. We cry for more of you, for who you are, Lord Jesus. We come today asking you for nothing, but seeking change in our lives. Seeking a change in our hearts, oh God. Make us like you. Throw us into the air today, Lord, and wave your mighty fan of the Holy Ghost. And blow the dust and the dirt off of us. Sanctify us to a greater degree. Show us how the things of the world will just, not that we'll backslide, Lord, but you've got something so, so much better for us today. Create that desire in our hearts, Lord Jesus, for purity, for purity. Create that desire in our hearts, Lord, to rejoice. Not that we have power, not that we see healings, but let us rejoice that our names are written in the book of life. Holy Alaba, Sunday Alamatia. Eat Hoya Labahosi Alaba, Shandari Alabahasi Alabahati Alabahosi. Work on us, Holy Ghost of God. Lord, I sense you doing it. Have your way at this altar service. This is your service, Lord. This is your service. Do great works in us, Lord. And I'm not talking about using us in gifts of the Spirit. I'm not talking about, Lord, spiritual, physical manifestations externally. I'm talking about something in us. Change our hearts, oh Lord. Give us a desire for more of you, Jesus, and less of what that junky old world can offer us. Lord, I have sensed joy unspeakable and full of glory in this service today because you're rejoicing. And the fact that your Holy Spirit, I don't know why, Lord, I don't know why. But I know a sovereign move of your Spirit is turning this church and turning its focus. And I praise you for that because the Holy Spirit will always turn us in the right direction. He'll always put our focus on the right thing. And Lord, forgive us. We repent of getting our eyes off of what they should have been on, spiritually speaking. And Lord, I sense you turning our hearts today. Lord, let us see the ugliness that world has and how it will do us no good. But Lord, Lord, in these last days, oh, it's always been this way, but especially in these last days, we need you more than ever. The greatest thing we need to be aware of is that you're in us and you're working in us. And Lord, we need to yield to that process. I feel the Holy Spirit telling me today to say this to us all. I'm not talking down to nobody. And I believe this is a word from the Holy Spirit. Please listen carefully. Do not fight me. Allow me to move largely in your heart. For what I give is eternal. What I give is lasting. What I give will bring peace and joy and greater revelation of Jesus. Open your heart wide and allow my Spirit to work today. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Lord God, Lord God. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, we do it. We submit, Lord. We submit. We submit today, Lord Jesus. And Lord, not only today, but Lord, let us stay in a spirit of submission. For Lord, the greatest thing that could happen is that we would be shaped into the image of character of Jesus in a greater way than we ever thought possible. Lord, we want that more than miracles, more than spiritual manifestations. Lord, what we're praying for, and I believe it's the prayer of everybody in this church, and you know it's my prayer. I want more of you, Lord. That's it. I want a greater knowledge and revelation of who you are, Jesus. And I want you to burn up all the dross, the impurity that's in my life, Lord, that displeases you. And Lord, I know that process will not be completed till I'm called home to glory. But Lord, there's something special about this day and this church submitting unto the flame of the master smelter, the master refiner. Oh, Lord, I praise you. And Lord, this is not emotion going on today. This is a deep move of the Holy Spirit of God going on in this church today. For Lord, I believe the greatest thing that could happen is we've set our feet on a path as a body to allow your Spirit to work in us and to change us into the image of Jesus Christ. Lord, to burn up our ways, to burn up our impure thoughts, to burn up our impure desires, to burn up the entertainment in our lives that's impure and displeasing to you. Oh, Lord, please, please don't let us be like Lot's wife and look back on Sodom. Lord, because all that was in Sodom, she looked back longingly on it, Lord. All that was there was evil and sin. When you were leading her, Lord, to a place of great promise and glory, oh, Lord, let us draw from that illustration today in what you're doing. Let us not look back with longing at what you may be speaking to us about allowing you to take out of our lives. And before we go on in the service, the Spirit is checking me hard on this. And he's saying, give my people these instructions. The things that I'm pointing out now that I want to change in your life, do not attempt to change them on their own, for you cannot. I have pointed them out so you will turn them over to me to allow me to make changes you cannot make, and I will make them. As you submit to me, I will make the changes. You will notice your desires will change. Thank you, Lord. My, my, my. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit of God, for this service today. Lord, your Spirit is so rich and full in the sanctuary today. Oh, my. Oh, my. We've needed this, Lord Jesus. I feel a cleansing. I feel a refreshing. I feel a joy like I have not felt in many, many days, Lord. Because you're showing us what you have is so much better than what we try to fill our lives with. Thank you, Lord Jesus, and continue to do this work in us. Continue to purify us, Lord, and shape us into the image of Jesus Christ. Continue to give us, Holy Spirit, a pliable heart that will be quick to respond to what you point out ought not to be there. And we give you praise and glory. And once again, before we close in prayer, I feel him telling me to reiterate it. The changes that I have pointed out today that I want to make, the things that I have pointed out that I want out of your life, do not attempt to remove them on their own, for you will fail and you will become discouraged. Allow me, submit your heart to me, and I will supply the power, and I will move mightily, and I will make the changes. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise today, Lord. We give you praise today, Lord Jesus. Just give him a hand of praise, church. Thank you, Lord. 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 My, my, my. God's doing some great stuff, church. God's doing some great stuff. It's great. Everything he does is great, but it's a new and a fresh move, I believe, that's coming to Crossway Community Church. And I think you sense that. Praise God. Praise God. Well, it's been so good to be in God's house. Don't you like it when the Holy Ghost preaches? You get out at 5 to 12. You can always tell when it's me preaching because you don't get out to 12:30. But when he says it and does it, it's good and it's fast. It don't take him long. Praise God. It's been so good to be with you in God's house today. Paula, would you come dismiss us in prayer today?
She has such a beautiful smiling face over there. I just looked at it and said, let Paula dismiss us today. Be with us on Wednesday night. We're having some great classes answering these questions. On this Wednesday, we're going to be addressing the question, what does the Bible mean by Satan's ministers? And I believe that's going to be a real eye-opener. So come out and be with us, okay? God bless you. We'll see you on Wednesday night. If you can be here, be safe, be blessed in Jesus' name. Sister Paula.